This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikaka Jujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We're here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena. Hey, on today's show, we have Sharice Davis, a congressperson from District 3 of Kansas. We have Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota State Representative, and Mary Kunuj Podine, and many, many more. But we're going to start out the show here with our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on Native Roots Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Robert. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Peggy, before we get started, I just wanted to send our heartfelt condolences mm-hmm. to you for the loss of your brother recently and also your father. You've been through so much right now, so very sorry.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's been a rough year for my family. Mm-hmm. You know, to lose my brother Ron, due to complications of COVID-19, this issue is just that much more personal to me, and how we're responding, frankly, and how everyone needs to really step up and take care of each other.
Right. And I think what we were talking about, Wendy and I, is that how happy and how proud we are to have you as Lieutenant Governor and the governor. And I know you have his ear, but also in how he's taking away and always, taking care of things and always mentioning Native Nations and whenever he talks about things.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think we're in a moment where I'm really grateful for his leadership as someone who, you know, has been a teacher. And I think you could sense that when he walked Minnesotans through the data and why we made the decision to issue the stay at home order. You know, he's command sergeant major in the Army National Guard, and he relies on, you know, data and input in order to put a plan together before we move forward, and isn't reactionary. And I think that's kind of, frankly, if I can just be a little bold, just to say, you know, that I think that's what's lacking in Washington, and we're trying to do things differently here in Minnesota.
And you are, and you're saving lives by doing it. I get emotional thinking about that, because you really are. I mean, traffic's down 40-50%. It's working here in Minnesota.
Yeah, the cell towers can tell that people aren't moving around a lot. And MnDOT reported traffic is way low. So
that's right. And I think people are I think Minnesotans are good at listening to directions, which we, you know, we appreciate. But I also think now is the moment to let folks know as well that, you know, sometimes for members of the community, being at home isn't safe. And that is for, you know, our friends and neighbors who may be experiencing domestic violence at home. And so, you know, we want people to know that if they find themselves in an unsafe situation, that we will do everything that we can to continue to connect them to resources and to programs that can help folks get safe and find an alternative place to be. And folks can find that information in our social media. So just wanted to make sure that people know that.
That's super important.
We care tremendously. Yeah.
That's super important.
Folks.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut into you. That's super important. I talked to a person also that works with childcare and things like that. And the kid, there's more runaways now. There's things happening out there. And so we really do need to get the word out there. We're going to have Nicole Matthews on our symposium too, to talk directly about what you said. Those are really good words, Peggy.
I'm so glad, and she is certainly a leader and expert in this, and we want folks in the community to be able to feel like they can reach out if they are feeling unsafe at home, and she's an incredible resource and leader there.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, for us to all check on our neighbors, you know, make sure that they're doing okay, and just see how people are doing.
Yeah, I mean, It's so difficult. I think, it's counterintuitive. I think, especially as Native people, that we need to stay apart in order to come together, which, you know, I think is difficult. But it really is the best way for us to care for the people that we love, especially our elders, is to make sure that they have what they need if we need to drop off groceries, but really to make sure that we're not exposing them potentially to COVID-19 and doing what we can, just encouraging people to call their loved ones, to get on FaceTime, and to make sure that people still have that form of connection. We're planning on, visiting my mom. She lives on the second floor and has a balcony, and, we'll sit down below and just at least be able to see each other, because I know that that's so hard for people right now. But it really is going to be what keeps people safe in this time.
Yeah, I don't want to change the subject here because it is the same subject, but I want to give Yoon, the governor, a shout-out about the tribal assistance that came up this week. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So I have been doing daily calls with tribal leaders across the state to hear directly from our leaders about their concerns, as well as just how they are responding through their own emergency orders to make sure that we are aligned. We also have representatives from Congresswoman McCollum's office and Senator Smith's office on those calls as well, so that they are getting information from the tribes and being able to share what's happening at the federal level. But what was really clear to us was that there's a pretty significant impact on the revenue for tribes, especially those who rely primarily on gaming for that source of revenue. So, tribes were able to make their own decision with regards to whether or not to close their gaming operations. All of them did, but also know that continues to put them at risk for just really being able to support community. So one of the things that we were able to move in the legislature was a tribal assistance package, which essentially allows each tribe to apply for up to $1 million each, know that that money will be sent out either at the end of this week or the beginning of next week to tribes. And I'm glad that we were able to do that and get agreement from the legislature, because we already know, frankly, that disparities exist and often and our community is affected by those. That COVID-19 and this pandemic only, frankly, worked to exacerbate those disparities. So it was important that we were able to get out, you know, the support quickly, but also know, frankly, that the federal government needs to, to move more quickly. And we wanted to be able to support folks fast and get this assistance of folks fast. But also know that it took several rounds of negotiations to make sure that, that you know, the needs of tribes were being met in the federal assistance package. And I am incredibly grateful to Representative McCollum and Senator Smith for being just really great advocates for Indian country. We're going to need more. And, you know, I am confident that they will continue to advocate for the funding for Indian Health Service, for infrastructure, for PPE, personal protective equipment for tribes, but that we have to be aligned in our approach with state and tribes. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say this is what strong leadership looks like. And we are really so grateful we live in the state we do and we have the leadership we have. And we're honored to have you on your show, on our show. And whenever you can make it, and I really appreciate it. Is there a last thought you have about keeping safe or anything out we can send out to Indian country here?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, again, thanks so much for this opportunity to share, you know, what's happening here in Minnesota. But I would say, you know, my I lost my brother over a week ago to complications due to COVID-19. He was an incredible man, just proud Ojibwe man, a veteran. And he dropped everything when my dad was hospitalized. Late last year, drove up from Tennessee and remained by his side until my dad walked on. And shortly after he returned home to Tennessee, where he lives with his wife, he wasn't feeling well and was actually diagnosed with cancer. So, you know, we had made plans to go and visit him. And shortly thereafter, being released after his first treatment, he was hospitalized again because he was having difficulty breathing. A few days later, he was diagnosed with COVID-19. And so he was placed in a medically induced coma, was put on a ventilator, but was not able to survive. And so it was important to our family that we share that story because these are real people, and it is easy to think about facts and figures and statistics, but you know, it's also important that we remember our own humanity and put a human face on these numbers. And so when you're staying home, you're protecting people like my brother. You are protecting folks in the community, and to know that some of us are asymptomatic, right? We don't know that we have it, and yet we are spreading it throughout the community. So I know that this is incredibly difficult time for people, and the very survival of the folks that we love and care about depends on our ability to stay home when we can, to wash our hands, to practice social distancing, but also just to remember that we are resilient people. We have experienced so much, and yet we are still here. And I was just talking to a friend of mine and asked her to send me some more traditional tobacco, asema, because I was running low. And and she did. And it was just a reminder that we have our own traditions, and we have our own medicines and way that we have survived since time immemorial, and just to remember and to go back to those things when you're feeling lost or disconnected, that that's one of the ways that we can continue to remember who we are, where we came from, you know, that we're all relatives, especially in this moment, and that's how we can care for each other.
Well, thank you, and we're so honored to have you on our show today, and with your truth and your words, thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
Timmy Gridge, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. Take good care.
You too. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Sharice David.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour free service.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, and you all know my taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. Hey, I am so, we had this last guest on over a year ago, and I'm so, so happy to be able to have her on again, and I know her time is really valuable, so I want to welcome Representative Sharice Davis, representing for Kansas 3rd District. Welcome, Sharice.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Can you tell us
to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's been a while. And it's funny, we have a little promo. I don't know if you remember doing this, but you're on my show every week and you say, hi, I'm Sharice Davis, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Oh,
so you're on a couple times a week. I don't know if you remember that, but we recorded that in a van. But that's
I
a long story
that.
Too.
At the powwow grounds.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, so can you tell our audience what's going on, what you're doing and what your state's doing and what's coming up? And we're just really curious.
Yeah, well, like a lot of people, you know, I'm trying to figure out what it's like to be in this kind of new reality that a lot of us are dealing with. So I'm personally in Kansas right now. I'm working from my home in Kansas, and my whole team, the folks who are here in Kansas and the ones out in DC, are all working virtually. So we're very fortunate to be able to do that, because there's a lot of people who are, and I'm sure it's the same up there for you guys. There's a lot of people who are now having to figure out, in addition to the things they were trying to figure out to begin with, the veterans benefits, you know, Social Security, people are trying to figure out what to do about things like unemployment and also just getting the access to health care that they're looking for. So I'm spending a lot of days working really hard, but from my house. So, yeah, and then I was actually on a self-quarantine when I first got back to Kansas because a colleague tested positive for the coronavirus. And, you know, of course, I called a doctor, and also, you know, we looked at what the CDC public health recommendations are. And so I did a self-quarantine until the 26th. And then, so definitely had to figure out how to get work going at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems like my wife's a pharmacist at the University of Minnesota, and she's upstairs right now working and talking to clients, and she doesn't know how much longer she's going to be doing that. Just because, you know, you're used to walk in people and dealing with she deals with infectious disease and HIV, and you know, they're make to phone calls, but they're not seeing people, and that's a hard thing all the way around, from economical to how do you do this.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the things that we're doing also, because I'm sure that there's a lot of folks who know that we passed a relief package last week, but I don't know if everybody knows about the impacts that that will have on tribal communities and Indian country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's called the CARES Act, and it doesn't have everything in it that we were fighting for, but I'm really happy to be able to serve in Congress with Deb Haaland. Mm-hmm. And from New Mexico. And her and I have really put a lot of effort into advocating to make sure that, you know, IHS and urban Indian health centers are getting resources, because, you know, for too long, IHS and urban Indian health centers have just they're not funded properly. They often are, you know, fighting for resources. And so Deb and I have been really really trying to advocate to the leadership in the House, but also to our colleagues, because, you know, there's a number of people who are in Congress now who were fighting for resources for Indian country before I got to Congress. You know, folks like Betty McCollum, who I'm sure you probably know. There's a Native caucus. And so there's folks who have been pushing really hard, and there are some things in there to help fund, healthcare. There's also, you know, money for tribal governments mm-hmm. to be able to help offset some of those costs they're going to face. 'Cause like a lot of things, Indian country gets hit real hard when mm-hmm. we have, you know, like when we had the government shutdown, Indian country felt it a lot because of the that tribal federal relationship, and mm-hmm. so we're trying to make sure that we've got the tribal communities are at the top of the priority list in terms of things that they need to be thinking about when putting these packages together.
Yeah, well, you know, thank you so much for being an advocate for your people, and I just want to throw out too. Anybody out there would love to support you. I know as a Ho-Chunk enrolled Ho-Chunk member, we are so proud of you and what you're doing. And is there a way that our audience can?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And it's the truth. We are so happy. I see paintings. I see things of all the Native people that are the politicians that are doing it. And you're right in there. And is there a way that we can help support you and your upcoming election, or what you're doing, or just giving you a shout out? Can you?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. I mean, one of the things, well, shoot, while you were talking, one of the things I was thinking about is just, you know, we all have to take care of each other right now while we're in the middle of this thing that's, I mean, it's scary for a lot of people. And it's also hard. It's stressful because of the health aspect of it. You know, we want to keep our family members, our elders, our young people safe. And we also, need our jobs and need to be able to, you know, put food on the table. And so, I mean, definitely right now, all of us being, you know, supporting each other in whatever ways we can is, I know it's not a direct thing for me, but it's something that I think I've been thinking a lot about. And then, you know, we're trying to do, we're doing lots of digital, I don't know, like on the social media and, putting out stuff and, you know, my, Twitter handle and, I'm on Instagram and those things are just, I think the Instagram one is Charisse for Congress. Folks can go on there and see my new, I took in a dog, during this time. And on Twitter, I'm at Charisse Davids. And, you know, anytime, we can, you know, elevate each other's messages and that sort of thing. Also, make sure to follow Deb Howland, Congresswoman Deb Howland, on her social media. Because her and I, like, I can't imagine doing this, going through all of this, and not having Deb Howland there. Her and I are definitely, we weren't as good or as close before all of this, but you know, she's somebody that I, both of us, I want both of us to be there, for a long time serving in Congress with each other. So.
Right. Hey, go ahead. I was just going to say we're
Wisconsin,
with.
Oh,
yep.
There's a special, I think it's considered a special election coming up. And I know that folks can do, to stay safe, folks can get their absentee ballots sent to them. And they can go to, I think it's myvote.wi.gov. So I know you have a lot of folks who listen to your program that are all over. So I just wanted to.
No, that's great.
But they got it. They have to go on there by Thursday at 5 p.m.
Oh, wow.
So okay. to get the absentee ballot.
Wow. Well, we're here with Representative Charisse Davids, representative for Kansas 3rd District. And, you know, again, can we get your website, too, so we can blast that out and people can support you? Because I know we have to keep you in there. We have to keep Deb in. We have to add more Native Americans in to represent us. And, you know, again, we're so proud of you here in Minnesota, and I know Wisconsin and Winnebago and all over the country, all Native, all over Turtle Island's really proud of you and what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I hope I can come up there and visit soon when we're on the other side of this thing. So my website is just charisseforcongress.com.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then we have most of the social media platforms. I'm not on the TikTok yet. But we'll see.
I think I'm on TikTok accidentally a few times with our students. I think I got a million views for saying something stupid, and that was stupid. But it's fun. Well, thank you. I know you're very, very busy, and thank you so much for spending some time with us. And
I got to talk to you again.
Yeah, and I hope we can make this a once a month or something that we can blast out what you're doing and how we can support you. I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate you keeping folks up to date on everything that's going on.
Heeny geegee. All right, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Representative Charisse Davids, representing for Kansas 3rd District. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Jeez.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your A950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today's going to be sunny, high near 47. Well, tonight's mostly clear, with a low around 30. Tomorrow, sunny, with a high near 57. Monday, chance of storms, with a high near 64. And Tuesday, chance of storms, with a high near 72. We know that this is a challenging time for everyone, which is why it's more important than ever to keep AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, coming into your home, work, and wherever you may be. To do this, AM950 needs your financial support now. Go to AM950radio.com to see how you can make a critical difference.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We're always happy to have Ruth Buffalo on North Dakota State House Rep. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Ruth.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. An honor.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Really, it's our honor. So we talk a little bit about what's going on in North Dakota, and I would like to start off by asking you what's been going on in North Dakota about the virus. It seems like North, South Dakota, and a couple other states are not quarantined. What have you heard about that, and what's the update there?
Well, in North Dakota here, we had a backlog of tests, and so trying to get caught up, you know, with the backlog of tests that have been conducted. But as of today, there were 14 new positive cases, which brings the statewide total here in North Dakota to 173.
Wow.
We unfortunately have had three deaths so far, and currently, along with five other states, we do not have a shelter in place.
Wow. Wow. So what's your gut feeling? Are you guys going to ride it out, or what has the governor or the mayor or anybody said?
The governor, he gives daily press conferences around 4 o'clock. Today was a little early, around 3:30-ish. But in today's press conference, the governor of North Dakota shared that North Dakota, in lieu, also in lieu of South Dakota, we are not in a shelter at place. And he believes basically because of our unique demographics and geographics being very rural.
Mm-hmm.
But I still believe through a public health lens that there's no harm in erring on the side of caution. So I think even if we did do a shelter in place, I think that it would still be very helpful. The governor has shared the importance of the different economic drivers that need transportation across our borders, statewide borders. And so, you know, there's a very big push for the economy to continue. But he does share, you know, a lot of the good work that many of the frontline workers in the different agencies are doing to make sure that our communities are being well taken care of. And so we hope that our state of North Dakota continues down the road of putting people first before profit.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope that message will drive home for our leadership, including the governor of North Dakota.
I hope so too. One of the things that's happened here in Minnesota is that the state government has passed a bill getting money to the 11 tribes here in Minnesota because of economic woes. A lot of the all the casinos are closed and things like that. So Minnesota is really trying to take care of Native Americans here. What's going on with North Dakota? Has anything like that come up for a bill or any talk of that?
I don't believe any statewide funding for tribal governments within North Dakota, but the government, of North Dakota has consistently referred back to the stimulus package or the CARES Act that would also include tribal governments. The state of North Dakota does have a North Dakota Indian Affairs Commission within the governor's cabinet. And so the governor has shared that he meets regularly with the tribal governments via phone conferencing. So hopefully the lines of communication are going well, and that hoping that everybody, including tribes, will have advocacy for them going forward, and also including every level of government, make sure that they're included.
Right, and we want them to be included too. I was looking at your schedule Thursday. Can you just, it's unbelievable what we're doing. Can you just run through just one day what you're doing in North Dakota for your people? I was just like in shock reading your schedule. Can you take it off the top of your head what you did Thursday?
Sure. Thursday I had, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different, different Zoom or phone meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Started at 11 a.m. There was a weekly business brief hosted by the Greater North Dakota Chamber and the North Dakota State Government Department of Commerce. And then also was invited to sit in or listen to a U.S. Global Leadership Coalition call. And then also was invited to listen in on a two-hour session for all tribes consultation regarding the CARES Act and the Coronavirus Relief Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And then also another hour-long call regarding Indian Country COVID-19 update from the White House. And then finished yesterday with a 4 p.m. call with the DNC Native American National call.
Wow.
I was the guest speaker, so it was pretty cool to be a part of that that meeting.
Yeah, I was just, when I saw your schedule, I was just blown away by, you know, how hard you're working. Not that you don't work hard, but seeing it in black and white, you are truly busy, and that's why I'm always very I really like the fact that you can spend a few minutes with us and the people here in the five-state area.
Well, yeah, no problem. I mean, it's I feel like it's, you know, a part of being elected into public office and just trying to make sure that I'm available and doing the best job that I can for the people of my district 27 in North Dakota and also regionally and some of the national calls as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, do you mind talking about what we did Sunday together with the last minute here we have? It was pretty fun.
Yes, that was a really good thing to connect with people throughout the country. It was called We're Still Here, and it was really good conversation. We talked about healthy coping skills in the time of COVID-19 and what we can do to maintain balance. And I really appreciated the stories that were told and really giving us good reminders of who we are as a people and as a nation and how we can continue to be good relatives to each other and make sure that we're living the best life we can and leading by example and helping others.
Yeah, and you were a big part of that. We had streams live through Zoom to Facebook on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake Facebook page, but we had Winona LaDuke, we had yourself, we had Mary Kunish Podine, we had a lot of people from all over the country, like you said, and we're going to do it again this week at 7:30 Central Time.
Right. Yep. Looking forward to it. I think it's so good to connect virtually, and I think, you know, it's testament to resiliency as a people and that we will adapt and continue moving forward.
Yeah. And I think it's great to hear, it's a Native American symposium. So it's great to hear from all the people and yourself about how we're dealing with this and how what's coming up in Indian country all along Turtle Island. And I'm really happy to do it again this Sunday at 7:30 live. And Ruth Buffalo is going to be a big part of that too.
Cool. Yep. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's always good to visit and to connect.
Right on. So you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota. We'll be right back after this short break.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakan Jahade. And as you all know, my taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. Hey, I'm really excited to have Jamie Edwards on here for a short bit. Jamie is a government official, a government affairs, a Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe member. And thank you so much for being on, Jamie.
Thank you, Robert. Good to connect with you again.
Yeah, definitely. I really was excited to have you on because there's so much going on, and you're kind of on top of it with your job, what's going on. First of all, how are you doing? I just want to get that, you know, how are you and your family doing through this?
Well, I'm doing well, Robert. I am adhering to the governor's stay-at-home order and, you know, the advisories that have come out of both the CDC and the World Health Organization, and of course, Minnesota Department of Health and state. So I'm you know, practicing good social distancing, or physical distancing is another way I've heard it referred to, and just trying to ride out the pandemic like everyone else. You know, our lives as we know it have been changed.
Yeah, oh, I think forever too. So there's a couple things going on in Indian country here in Minnesota. Do you have any updates of, I mean, there's things going on at Red Lake and Cass Lake and all these things. Do you have any updates of what's happening in our state?
Well, I can share that a couple things. First, that tribal leaders and staff are meeting internally on a regular with their tribal emergency response teams, along with constant calls with the governor's office, with the BIA, with each other, trying to, again, you know, avoid the spread of this pandemic into communities, you know, reservation communities, other vulnerable communities. And so they've been hard at work with, you know, 5-10 calls per day addressing a variety of issues.
Yeah. So do you know anything about the martial law, or how does it go? Something going on up north with one of the tribes. Do you know anything about that?
Well, the medical martial law, I think, is what they are calling it at Red Lake. But let me take a step back. Mm-hmm. Because, so again, the governor of Minnesota, you know, applaud him and the lieutenant governor, Peggy Flanagan's work in the state. They have been leaders nationally in how they have adapted in an effort to protect the citizens of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. One of the things that happened as that order was coming together is tribal leaders, attorneys, and others, as look at reservation communities and the unique characteristics in those communities, and the need to protect, you know, tribal communities from, you know, the potential spread of this pandemic into their communities by having some type of control over that, and not necessarily deferring to the state order and really recognizing the state didn't have authority to apply that order in reservation communities without the agreement of those communities, or that authority being deferred by a federal authority, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened, and hopefully that's not too confusing, but what happened is tribes negotiated an exception in the stay-at-home order that the governor put in place. And then what they did, using their sovereign authority, is they all created their own stay-at-home orders, because, again, you know, tribal communities, Indian country is unique and different, and we have ceremonial practices, we have treaty harvest that's happening right at this time. Mm-hmm. And so tribal nations and their legal teams wanted to ensure that you know, they had the greatest amount of control to protect the citizens and their land base of their communities. And so that's what's happened. You know, Mille Lacs implemented its stay-at-home order with exceptions of certain activities that are cultural in nature. And then recently, you know, as was mentioned, Red Lake implemented its own stay-at-home order, but they are, they're using language that, you know, in this time of, you know, great chaos and fear, right? Fear of the unknown, because we've never been through this. When you hear the term martial law, you know, that puts folks in a very interesting space. A lot of, again, fear, concern, you know, we've seen movies, but what Red Lake, the Red Lake Nation has done is not really, implemented. For one, they don't have a military, so they're not going to, be enforcing with the Red Lake military on their borders. But what they have done is try to limit, the movement of community members. And so in their own way, exercising their sovereign authority, they implemented what is called a medical martial law order. And I think in some respects, one of the unique things that exists in that order is a curfew. And so other reservation communities in the state, in their stay-at-home orders didn't go that far. But the reality is, that, you know, they are prepared to do that should they need to. Right now, there is enough flexibility created in these tribal, stay-at-home orders that allow community members to still do the things that are necessary to, shop and do certain things, along with, a lot of efforts that have been occurring, in several communities. I know Mille Lacs, included, where there have been meals delivered to elders and, and special attention, placed on emergency management services, you know, and other, other services that have been provided to community members over the years, but now have to be provided in a much more careful manner, where, you know, the social distancing criteria is being adhered to. And some of, you know, our, folks up in Mille Lacs, and I'm sure this is happening at Leech Lake and at Red Lake and wider and others, because I've been on calls with tribal leaders as they've expressed both their concerns, you know, and their frustrations, just like others, you know, getting, the personal protective gear that's necessary to protect the medical workers. You know, we have folks that are working, through clinics and, you know, with, again, vulnerable populations. So making sure that they have all those materials necessary to protect the community and protect those individuals that are helping. And so again, this is, you know, unique way in which tribal communities have, you know, exercised their sovereign authority and with a great relationship with the current administration that recognizes the tribal communities are unique and it's, comfortable adapting to that, those unique realities and working in partnership, throughout the various agencies, the calls that, that, I have been on with tribal leaders and staff, have included commissioners at the, from the state, at the state level, the lieutenant governor, the, I believe the governor was on one call. So there's a lot of attention and, very respectful working relationships continue as the various governments interact and you know, adapt to this new reality.
Okay, Jamie, we're going to leave it at that. I really appreciate you being on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Jamie Edwards, a Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Government's Affair official. We'll be right back with Hour 2.
We are Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
My name is Jackie, and I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to the AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
That all of the beds in this convention center, which totals 1,000, won't all be needed.
More than 400 deaths have been reported in Louisiana. There's a glimmer of hope in Spain. Correspondent Scott McLean is in Madrid.
There are signs in Spain that the situation here is stabilizing. The number of active cases being confirmed every day is going down. And though the death toll is still remarkably high, more than 800, it is the lowest that it's been in a week.
I'm Ann Cates.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-636-9292. That's 1-800-636-9292. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-636-9292.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here. Thanks for keeping your radio tuned to AM 950. This is a challenging time for everyone, including us here at the radio station. To make sure AM 950 keeps broadcasting, we need your help. Head over to AM 950 Radio and sign up to support AM 950 with however much you can. And Brett and I will personally be thanking listeners who contribute on our shows. Head over to AM950Radio.com. That's AM950Radio.com and declare, yes, I want to support AM 950. From everyone at AM 950 and from me personally, thank you very much. And thanks for listening to the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. We appreciate you listening to AM 950 and promoting Minnesota's only progressive talk station. We also want to remind you how important it is to support our advertisers amid the coronavirus outbreak. The advertisements you hear on AM 950 are what allows us to stay on the airwaves and bring you the best in progressive talk radio. We're not funded through some giant parent company. We're an independent, locally owned business that relies on the local advertisers you hear. Unfortunately, many of those advertisers are going to be hit hard by the coronavirus closures. So please, support our advertisers in any way that you can. Whether that's ordering some delicious takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or even just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. We know times are tough, so even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way to help. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today's going to be sunny, high near 47. While tonight's mostly clear, with a low around 30. Tomorrow, sunny, with a high near 57. Monday, chance of storms, with a high near 64. And Tuesday, chance of storms, with a high near 72. The Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week is Victor's 1959 Cafe, offering traditional Cuban recipes in a relaxed, casual, and festive Cuban environment. Come try their authentic Cuban pork barbecue sandwich at 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. More details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut it even.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Hour 2. I want to welcome everyone back. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake. All things are relatives, and what we do to ourselves. All is one. Black Elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy, it says that right here. You've been an animal advocate for many years, and she's a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Please tell us your name and who gave it to you.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and I was given that name by my Dega here, Curtis. And Dega means what? Uncle. He's my uncle.
Yep.
Yeah, in Ho-Chunk.
Mm-hmm.
I just have an update. This was updated April 3rd, Friday, and this is from the Humane. It's called A Humane World. It's Kitty Block's blog, and Kitty Block is the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. And this article was also written by Sarah Anmanson. excuse me. And what this says is that Dr. Anthony Fauci calls for closing down wildlife markets around the globe. And, you know, a lot of people think that the wild live markets are just in China, but they're not. They're all over. And when I tell you in just a little while where one is here in the United States, I think you're really going to be surprised about it. But he is the nation's most authoritative voice on infectious disease, and he sounded a stern warning about the dangers of the wildlife trade and its relationship to the pandemic disease COVID-19. In an interview with Fox News, and I know what you're going to say about Fox News, Robert.
Fake news.
But Dr. Anthony Fauci called for the global community to pressure China and other nations to close down their wildlife markets where live animals are sold and slaughtered for food. Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and a member of the White House Corona Task Force, said, quote, "It just boggles my mind that how, when we have so many diseases that emanate out of that unusual human-animal interface, that we don't just shut wildlife markets down." Quote, "I don't know what else has to happen to get us to appreciate that," Dr. Fauci said. Quote, I think there are certain countries in which this is a very common place. I would like to see the rest of the world really lean in on a lot with a lot of pressure on those countries that have that, because what we are going through right now is a direct result of that."
Yeah, that's gotten lost in the shuffle, hasn't
it? Really
it
has. And you know what? People aren't talking about the cause. They're just talking about the virus. Wildlife markets have been implicated in the spread of several disease outbreaks in recent years, including severe acute respiratory syndrome, which is also known as SARS, avian influenza or bird flu, Ebola, and Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, MERS. The novel coronavirus pandemic was also traced to a wildlife market in Wuhan, China. Yet despite the strong evidence of the link between wildlife trade and disease, we have failed to see decisive permanent action from key nations on ending or even addressing the wildlife trade and its connections to the pandemic risk.
So this trade you speak of, is that where we have an open market and people are butchering live animals right in front of people? And
yeah, that's exactly what it is. They're called wet markets, and wet markets are also known as live animal markets. And most of the time, these animals are kept in cramped, filthy, disgusting conditions. And people can just go to these markets and actually pick out the live, you know, animal, and they're slaughtered right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking all day today, where in the United States are there wet markets? And I was, and New York City kept coming up over and over and over again.
Wow. Where?
Yeah. One is in Brooklyn, and there happens to be, and I'm really surprised, New York City has over 80 wet markets in New York City. And for 3 years, the public health and animal protection advocates have pled with the New York Department of Health to shut down the city's wet markets. And these are also known as the live animal markets. These are a breeding ground for diseases. And in New York, they said that there's at least 10 different species of live animals that are kept in these marketplaces, but they didn't specify which animals there are. They all, you know, and they also said in this article that, you know, the animals are trucked in to New York City. The animals are kept in tight, unsanitary conditions. A lot of them die on the way, even before they reach their destination. Once they reach the destination, they're kept in, you know, cramped cages. Customers come in and they choose the animal they want, and the workers just kill the animal on site. The video that's online, and I could post it on our Facebook page, showed some chickens and lambs and a calf that were slaughtered right there and then. And then they showed it, I'm not going to say which religious group, but there's a religious group that every year has a tradition, and they kill over 10,000 chickens in the street. They don't wear gloves. There's blood all over the place. And there's even been reports of these people contracting E. coli, salmonella, and Campylobacter disease. And these are awful.
This is in Brooklyn? Or
this is all over New York City. So there is one in Brooklyn. And they didn't really say where the others were. But there's 80 of them. I can't even believe it. They said in also in the United States, they didn't say where, but rabbits carry, and I'm going to see if I could pronounce this, bacteria, Tulmonera, Tulamera. I can't say
aluminum.
T-U-L-A-R-E-M-I-A, a bacteria disease that can be fatal. And the scary part is that this particular bacteria is on the list of potential bioterror weapons that can be used against humanity.
Right.
Well, who knew the coronavirus is also one that can is used against humanity? I mean, it's killing the whole planet here.
Right.
But really, these animals don't deserve to be kept in these hard conditions. Is also the swine flu was a breakout here in Minnesota from a factory farm. It was contained.
How long ago?
I don't know. I read it in an article today. I should have noted what year it was. I think I read 2003, but I'm not really sure.
Wow, that's recent.
Yeah, but, you know, we really have to be careful because these animals are just kept in hard conditions. And we want to be a more humane world.
Mm-hmm.
At least I want the world to be more humane and, right. and keeping animals in these conditions and slaughtering them in this way is bad for the animals. We know it's bad for humans because we're getting diseases from them. And it's bad for the environment. You know?
Well, I'm glad you brought this back up because I know they originally talked about it and now we're talking it seems like back in Vietnam we're talking about deaths every night and when the Vietnam War was happening and how many were killed and how many, you know, so mm-hmm. it's kind of that trauma. And I'm glad you're bringing this back up. One thing I wanted to ask you, not to change the subject, but so people out there that are by themselves, is there a place where they could still get pets?
I think that people should look go online and mm-hmm. check out their local humane society and see how they are adopting and fostering out animals.
I don't think they are anymore.
Well,
because remember they had that where they were before the virus really took off, they closed down and mm-hmm. they got rid of all the dogs at the humane society and all.
Well,
the
they
cats.
Adopted them out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I meant.
Yeah, it sounds like when you say got rid of them,
right.
they did something bad to them. But so what I've read is that some shelters who will do an interview with you online, and you could do an application. They could still come and do a home visit.
Really?
You know, do the backyard at least and make sure that you have a secure mm-hmm. backyard for the pet. And then I've read, there's a couple of articles that said that, you pull up and they put the dog in your car and then that's it.
Wow. Yeah. What about Pet Finder? What's going on
you
there?
You could try Pet Finder. Sure. Pet Finder. Pet Haven is another mm-hmm. rescue. And,
yeah.
and just look at, rescues in your area. I think this is a good time. People are home. They have time to potty train. And,
right. And also the lonely people out there is what I was
absolutely.
Getting at. But, I see some people getting yeah. pets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pets are great mm-hmm. to help break the monotony in your day, and they keep you company.
Yep. And especially if you're alone, but even if you're not, it'd be good to get adopt a pet for your kids, too, to keep mm-hmm. them busy because they're driving yeah. you crazy.
And don't forget the older pets, too.
Oh, especially yeah. the older pets.
Mm-hmm. They're
for
there
sure.
for a long time and a
and
lot of
the,
times.
They're the most grateful that I know.
Yeah, we've always had, right? Our cats have always been old that we've adopted, and our dogs that we have now are all adopted. We adopted Emma when she was 15, right?
That's
We adopted her when she was 15, and then the other two were 8 and 9, so.
Well, that's it on your segment. I really appreciate it, Wendy, bringing that to the forefront and also talking about what people can do out there that are seeking pets. And,
yeah.
and so, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and that was Wendy Pilot. We're going to be right back with Mary Kunish Podine, State House Representative of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Hi, I'm Jane Sanders, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, and my taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. Hey, every week we are totally blessed to hear from Minnesota House Representative Mary Kunish Podine. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Metake Yape, I'm Petukenle Shantewashte. It is State Representative Mary Kunish Podine on this lightly snowing day of April 3rd. I guess if it had been snowing on April 1st, that would have been a good April Fool's joke, but it is snowing, and I think we should be glad that we don't have the 10 inches that they got up in the Fargo-Moorhead area that my sister and her husband had to shovel themselves out from this morning. But it'll be melting before we know it, and spring will be right around the corner. I know I have been dying to get my hands in the dirt, so repotted a bunch of plants and went and bought a few outdoor plants to repot to give for Easter. Just finding ways to connect with ourselves outside. Beautiful sunny day this week. I got out for maybe a 15-minute power nap on my deck. Faces the south, so it was really warm out there. And boy, was that the best medicine I could have asked for over these past few days. I hope you are all taking good care of yourselves and your loved ones. I know it's not easy being stuck in our homes, and especially for parents that are trying to help their kids with their schoolwork. I'm hearing so many different words of thanks and appreciation from families who are now helping their kids with their schoolwork. As a teacher, I really understand how difficult it is to make that transition from sending your kids to school every day and kind of handing off the responsibility of learning and teaching, and now all of a sudden be the responsible one at home. So parents, do the best that you can with your kids. Try not to be too tough on them. It's going to be a very different way. We don't know. I sort of doubt that we'll be going back to school this year, and we'll just pick up where we left off and start our next school year in the fall. Hopefully everybody will be healthy and ready to learn by that time that happens. As far as an update for the legislature, we continue to work from home. A lot of Zoom conferences, teleconferences. We will plan to go back on April 14th and meet back at the Capitol to pass more legislation. Last week when we were there, there was a very specific order and distancing plan, and I sure appreciated the folks that worked hard to make that happen. So we're hoping to get back on April 14th and pass more COVID-related legislation, but maybe we'll be able to get on with some of the other pieces of legislation that we were working on before. As I mentioned last week, we went in on Thursday, and in the House of Representatives, we passed off of the floor House File 4531. So House File 4531. And that was a bill that appropriated money and modified some of our state programs in response to the outbreak of the COVID-19 here in Minnesota. And what it did was to establish a temporary $2 million COVID-19 Minnesota fund that appropriates additional money to issue driver's license and identification cards. It awarded child care grants, provided financial assistance to military veterans or their surviving spouses. It also distributed additional funding for our food banks and food shelves and increased housing support payment rates and provide services and shelter to the homeless. We know that some of those folks are the ones that are most vulnerable at this time, and we want to make sure, I know the counties and the cities are working so hard to find ways to house the homeless people and get them fed, because they oftentimes are the ones that suffer with the health issues most often. And so we really appreciate the partnership that counties and cities have had with our legislature. That bill also appropriated $11 million to the Commissioner of Revenue to make grants this year to each of the 11 Native American tribes in Minnesota, and that was specifically to be used for emergency response activities. A tribe can apply to for this grant of up to $1 million, and they have to agree to spend that grant money for activities that are going to mitigate the immediate health and economic impacts of COVID-19. And then any money that's not applied for will be split equally among the applicant tribes. Now, on the federal level, maybe some of you have heard about the $2 trillion stimulus bill that the White House signed. And originally, of course, per usual, our tribes were not included in the conversation. At the end of that, the discussion, our tribes did get about $10 billion in the emergency stimulus bill that had a total of $2 trillion. So the tribes got $10 billion out of $2 trillion. And I guess if the White House had had its way, our tribes wouldn't have gotten even a penny. None of the 574 tribes would get even one penny in direct relief. And our Senate Democrats at the federal level really dug in their heels and initially said they need to secure at least $20 billion in direct federal relief in order to stem the job losses and provide economic stability caused by the pandemic, with our casinos closing down and a lot of the other economic anchors that our tribes depend on basically coming to a standstill. And I know that our representatives out there worked really hard, and the White House finally relented and agreed to create that stabilization fund. And they wanted to cap it at a much lower number, but at the end of the day, the stimulus is about $10 billion for tribal governments, and $8 billion of that is for a newly created tribal government stabilization fund, and then $2 billion is going into some supplemental appropriations. And so there's like eight, there's a, I'm going to try to break it down here a little bit. There is money for Corona's relief fund that is for health emergencies in the face of revenue declines. Tribal businesses makes tribes eligible for the Small Business Act section and paycheck protection programs, as well as the Coronavirus Economic Stabilization Act program. It's also going to allow our Indian tribes to be reimbursed for half of their incurred unemployment benefit costs through December 31st, 2020. And then there is the federal education waiver, and that authorizes the Department of Education to waive provisions of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. And it is specifically for all of the BIE, Bureau of Indian Education schools, and that includes the 638 tribal contract schools and the 297 grant schools. Then there's also some extra funding for special diabetes programs and temporary assistance for the most neediest of families. So it authorizes the extension for SDPI and TANF through November 30th, 2020. And then it's also going to help shore up our Indian health services. There's $1.032 billion in very critically needed resources to support our tribal health systems through this pandemic. And that includes medical services, equipment, supplies, public health education. And those are also available to our tribally operated and urban Indian healthcare facilities. So there is help on the way, and I'm just really, really thankful of that. There will be money to provide tribal aid to our tribal governments to support the welfare assistance and social service programs. Again, our BIE schools, HUD, Native American programs. There's $200 million for Native American Housing Assistance and the Self-Determination Act. And so food distribution, we haven't forgotten, or they didn't forget our older Americans, so there's money in there as well as for our child care. So I was really thankful that those at the federal level were really looking out for our tribes and for our families, because it's so important that we are all making sure that we're taking care of everybody. One of the last things, I just have a few minutes left, I could go on for hours and hours, is to remind everybody that there is an emergency special enrollment time for individuals who are currently without health insurance in response to this coronavirus. And what you would need to do is just go to MNSURE.org, MNSURE.org. And there's lots of information on that page about whether you qualify, you know, how to enroll. It will walk you through it. As somebody who was one of the first grant recipients of Minnesota Care, maybe 30 years ago or so, I can tell you they have made it so much easier and streamlined the process compared to what I would have to fill out. I don't know if it was every month or every 3 months, I'd get this huge booklet and it would literally fold out 3 pages wide, and I would have to fill that out to get health care for me and my kids when I was a single mom. So make sure that you're looking out for each other. As I said, know that we're all in this together. Folks are looking to reach out and help each other. Domestic violence is up. Please, 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 please take care of each other. If you're feeling that you need to get out of the house, that you're on the verge of something unfortunate, please be the responsible one for your loved ones and seek help. There are plenty of ways to do that. So I'm going to leave you now, but I hope you all the health that I can send you, and let's take care of each other. Wopla Tonka.
Wow, Pinigi Mary Kunish Podine for all your great words. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today's going to be sunny, high near 47. Well, tonight's mostly clear, with a low around 30. Tomorrow, sunny, with a high near 57. Monday, chance of storms, with a high near 64. And Tuesday, chance of storms, with a high near 72. We know that this is a challenging time for everyone, which is why it's more important than ever to keep AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, coming into your home, work, and wherever you may be. To do this, AM950 needs your financial support now. Go to AM950radio.com to see how you can make a critical difference.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Wakunja Hare. We're always really excited to have Nancy Bolio of 350 Bemidji, or Bemidji 350. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Well, good afternoon, and again, I am Nancy Bolio. I am the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350, and we are the Bemidji 350 chapter. And I'm just going to do a little update today about the Line 3 comment period that's being held by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. So just a couple days ago, they had their first town hall meeting, and each participant gets 2 minutes to speak, and it's on the record. And I suggest that our listeners today make time to attend these meetings. They're important. And when you first sign in, what you want to do is make sure that if you're going to publicly speak that day, that you follow the prompt as soon as you can. If you wait for the prompt to speak, chances are you might not be able to speak, because I noticed we didn't have a whole lot of our Native relatives commenting last week, and I know some of them were on the call just waiting. So The next hearing is on Tuesday, April 7th at 6:30, and it goes until 8. And the next one is Thursday, April 9th, and that one is at 10 a.m. till 11:30 a.m. And they can call 1-855-731-4613. And this is the conference call where the public hearing takes place. And again, follow the prompt and make sure that you get on the queue to be heard and speak from your heart. And what we do know at the same time is that the chairman of White Earth, Michael Fairbanks, wrote a letter to the Walz administration saying that this time of COVID is not a time to rush this process, and that we have to consider, you know, consulting with the tribes in a meaningful matter. And Walz administration has that executive order 1924 where they're going to consult and coordinate and cooperate with our tribes. And so we see that with Minnesota Pollution Control Agency rushing this comment process during a time of a pandemic doesn't give fair opportunity for our people to give comment. And most of our people don't even have access to Wi-Fi or maybe even a phone. You know, they're not even notified that this process has continued. They only gave a week extension on the hearing. So the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency feels that their remedy to offer during a time of a pandemic, but I don't think it's fair, and that was part of my comment the other day, and other people commented on that as well. So, again, make sure you make time on the 7th and the 9th to attend those hearings, because it's important that we show up, even though it's a virtual space. It's important we show up. Again, that number is 1-855-731-4613. So again, water is life, and so let's protect it, because we're, you know, during a time of COVID, we see that we need water to keep ourselves clean. And there was just a report on the radio today about Italy having some water problems due to the fact of the increase in hand washing. Their the average is each person is using 13 more gallons of water per day to keep their hands clean. So, anyways, to the coronavirus, kind of just segue into what I was just talking about here. The CDC is also recommending that we wear masks out in public, and this not only protects ourselves, it protects everybody else. And so again, if you have to go out, wear a mask, but if you don't need to go out, don't go out, because we're putting our elders and our babies and our vulnerably medical people, you know, at risk here, and they mean everything to us too. So I would like to take just a quick moment here, and I know I don't have a lot of time, but I came across this beautiful saying the other day. It's like a poem, and I want to read it.
Okay, do it.
I'm going to read it now. What if the universe is trying to get us to slow down, to stop producing, to stay home and let the earth breathe a little without all the extra pollution we cause daily, to take a step back and realize how we really impact the earth and one another, that we aren't as significant or in control as we think we are. A virus can come through and wipe us all out, but the earth will still be here. We are all connected. Just like we can spread a disease, we can also spread love, kindness, and positivity. Use this time for reflection of your contribution and the life you're living. Slow down and finally hear yourself again. The universe is always speaking to us if we are willing to listen.
Yeah,
I think that's powerful.
Super powerful.
So this is a time, you know, to reflect and try to do something different, because we cannot continue on the path as business as usual. This is our wake-up call. So, again, find out, you know, the simple things in life that work for you, and you're going to find peace in that. So it's kind of going back to the day when my grandma was here. Mm-hmm. I find peace in that. So.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm...
That was beautiful. Hey, can you do tell the phone number is 1-855-731-4613, and just say the days and the times again.
Okay, let me get back to that page. We got April 7th. That's a Tuesday, and that would be actually this Tuesday. from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And then we have Thursday, April 9th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Again, show up. And, you know, I noticed a lot of union workers on the last call, and you could tell by the way they start who they're working for. And we, again, just like at the public comment hearing, we had all those Enbridge union workers show up in their T-shirts. Well, I noticed that the same thing here on this last call, in that there was the same type of crowd showing up. And I, when I gave my comment, I did mention that. I said, these people that are commenting today are not commenting about water itself. They're commenting about job security.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, I want to make sure that our relatives show up and talk about what it means to us. And, you know, water is life. It's everything.
That's right.
Where we come from. So it's important to show up. And now it's even more important because we're in a time of a new reality, and it's kind of scary.
Really?
So
it is.
We really need to rise up, folks. Rise up. And the people are, you know, kind of like, well, I don't know how to rise up. Find the people that are rising up and join forces, because you know what? I guarantee you, we're going to hold your hand. We're not going to let you just be out there by yourself. We're people power when we come together. So when we stand together, we band together. And I encourage people to start showing up now. This is our time.
Right on. Hey, so who wrote that? Do you know that piece?
No, actually, I just found it on that website.
Wow.
And
beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It is beautiful.
Nancy, thank you so much for being on and giving us this uplifting talk and things that we can do from home to protect the water and Mother Earth. Thank you so much for being on.
Yes, and have a wonderful day.
You're listening to...
Stay safe.
Hey, right on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Uncle Curtis.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahade. Again, my taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. Hey, we're all really, really excited to have Uncle Curtis back on. Uncle Curtis was on vacation, and I'm glad he's back on. Hey, how's it going, Uncle Curtis? Can you tell us your name, please?
Yeah, I'm so glad to be back with my dream team.
My name is Maske Hanajinga. Walks on white cloud. My taxpayer name is Curtis West, and I want to say hi to my baby girl out there, and she's going to be listening to us and this and that. But there's one thing that I always like to say is that I pray in four directions to all my family, relatives, and friends that all is well and staying protected from this ugly virus that's running around. You know, and I thank you again, Tushke, for letting me cut in on the show, and I appreciate that. And you know, he always lets me do some birthdays, you know, some shout outs, some events. You know, there's no events coming on, but one real important one that I'll get into eventually here. But I want to give some shout outs on the birthdays. All right. And I want to say happy birthday to my Nake. And that's my baby brother, Gary West. And I want to say happy birthday to him. And
right,
I got a couple Tuesdays on my grandson's Jaden and Jalen's birthday. And we're going to do a special drive by on their birthday because we're doing that social distancing and stuff like that. And there's another one, an important one down in Iowa, Stacy McKee, and that's a relative down there. And she's in quarantine right now. And so we're going to say happy birthday to her. And then our little brother, Bradley Moyer's birthday, too, you know. And we want to say happy birthday to them all. And there's another one, too, down in Tennessee where they're on lockdown, too, is Shelby. Want to say happy birthday to her, and then my one of my favorites. I got a whole bunch of favorites, but Sherry Tallstrom down in Iowa. I want to say happy birthday to her, you know. And Tushke lets me go ahead, and you know, there's a couple people older than Robert and me, our elders. And, we're gonna say happy birthday to these elders, and so we want to say happy birthday to Michael Goodbear, Clyde Blackbear, Amos Hensley Jr. Clayton Thundercloud, and another relative of ours down there, too. And Tushke met him down at General Counsel. We're going to say happy birthday to Alan Cloud, you know.
Yeah.
And this is a special one that you know, means the world to all of us. And she's an elder, elite language speaker, and she's my little nanny, my little mother.
Mm-hmm.
Want to say happy birthday to Betty Greencrow.
Yes, yes.
You know, and so I want to give that way. And I got some shout outs too, you know, and I want to give a shout out to all the sheriffs, first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the truck drivers, the grocery store attendants and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
They're out there keeping us safe and making sure we got something to look forward to, you know. You know, we say that you know, in Wangsheek way and that white man way, you know, hey, we're going to get through this cuz we're in this together, you know. And We're going to have to get through this, and we just stay inside, you know, protect yourself, and you know, if you got to wear a mask. If you don't feel good, stay home, please.
Mm-hmm.
And
good words.
But there's some things. I got to give a shout out to Robert's one of his main number one fans, and he's listening in today. So he called me this morning, and so. We want to give a shout out to this friend of ours and a good follower of Native Roots Radio. We want to give a shout out to Jerry Augie Augenash.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that's my brother. My brother Waboose, and that Waboose in Ojibwe means rabbit, and he's always been a rabbit. I want to say this to Jerry. You know, he's out there with. He gave me a couple of tips on you know to wear that bandana with a coffee filter in it for extra protection. So I went on, got me 100 of them at Dollar Tree. So I doubled them up.
Hey.
And, but I want to say this to Augie Waboos. I said, stay safe and stay blessed. We really appreciate everybody following the rules on this. You know, this social distancing. I miss my kids. I miss my grandkids. I miss my Tushke and my Tush uncle over there.
Uh-huh.
We ain't got to sit around a table. We ain't sat around a table in a long time. And so, like I said, the other thing, I want to give a shout out to, this is in my neighborhood out in Hopkins, Minnesota. And I want to give a special shout out to the fire department and the police department over here. They texted us over here. And like I said, we're, you know, a lot of birthdays, little kids' birthday parties are being canceled and get togethers are canceled. And they volunteered to just call them and say, we're going to bring the fire truck and put the horn on and the siren on, and the cops are going to come in and wish them a happy birthday. So I want to thank my community for that, and I really appreciate them and everybody. It's going around the whole Twin City area. Like I said, I want to say hello to all the school kids too. You know, I know you miss the teachers.
Yeah.
And Robert's got a whole bunch of favorites that he misses. And
you know it.
Just staying safe. And like I said, he let me cut loose on one thing. It's an event, and this is a very important event. And then Truskay's going to get into it later on, but I just want to mention the one event that I got coming up here. It's tomorrow on the 5th, Sunday, right? At 7:30 our time. It's Native Roots Facebook page, and Native Roots and American Indian Movement, St. Paul chapter, are sponsoring this event. They present We Are Still Here, a conversation on where we are and where we're going. You know, I'll stream live on Facebook.com/Native Roots Radio. And please tune in. It's going to be very informational and very important on words that are going to come out of all these speakers. And I could go on and on who all these important people that are going to be talking on the show. And I appreciate each and every one of them taking time out of their life in this thing we're going through, and to spread the word. And I appreciate that very, very much.
Choke, not only Winona LaDuke, Ruth Buffalo, Mary Kunish Podine, Barry Hand, Julian, and from AIM in California, Amber Torres. We're going to have a couple secret special guests that are going to sneak in there too. So, yeah, please tune in to We Are Still Here symposium that'll be live on Facebook. We're doing it via Zoom into Facebook, and last week it was really successful. We had over 10,000 views, so that's
awesome.
Yeah. So, any last words? We're about to wrap this up, Uncle.
Yeah. So, anyway, one thing I want to say, I want to say a large peenagigi to all them people. That's the top shelf of speakers. Everyone you mentioned on that is top shelf, and I want to say a peenagigi to each and every one of you on that, and I want to say stay safe and stay blessed.
Peenagigi, I would like to end with these words. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
We are awake.